Okay, so the reason why we're speaking about Joseph today, according to the Hebrews passage, is of what he did on his deathbed. But before that, his life was, you know, those 110 years. So I was thinking, if on your tables, you could all, maybe in like three sentences, tell a part of Joseph's story. So if this table could tell the part about his childhood until he goes to Egypt. Yeah. That table, part when he arrives in Egypt until he gets thrown into prison. And here, in prison, and how he ends up as Pharaoh's second in command. And you and Brian can describe the whole thing when his brothers come back and what happens with that. Okay? So you'll have 5 minutes to figure out three sentences or four sentences to describe that part of his life. Are we ready? Almost? Should we start with childhood?
Oh, right. We're the youngest ones. We said Joseph was the oldest son of Rachel, mm-hmm. his father's favorite, the 11th brother?
I think so, yeah.
And was gifted a coat of many colors. That's our first sentence.
Yes.
Joseph had dreams that foretold his brothers and father would bow down and worship him. Mm-hmm. And his brothers hated him so much that they nearly killed him, but sold him into slavery to Egypt and told his father that he had died.
Well done.
There you go.
Thank you. Now, he is now in Egypt. What happens in Egypt?
He tried to remember. It wasn't great.
That's the whole point of this thing that we do. Yeah.
Brothers sold Joseph as a slave, eventually to Potiphar.
Yes.
Potiphar's wife tried to seduce Joseph, who had climbed up the household staff.
Yes.
Potiphar didn't like this, so had Joseph thrown into prison. Accusing.
Yes, well done, thank you. Then, he's in prison. What happens in prison?
Okay. Well, while Joseph was in prison, Pharaoh had two dreams. The advisors couldn't interpret the dreams, but Joseph could. Joseph told Pharaoh that the dreams meant that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. Uh-huh. Pharaoh made Joseph second in charge so that he could oversee the gathering and distribution of food for the next 14 years.
Well done. Wonderful sentences. Half an essay. Wonderful. And then what happens then?
The brothers didn't recognise Joseph, but he recognised them. When they were going back to their dad, a cup was found in Benjamin's bag. And the brothers pleaded to take his place. They had changed. Joseph
Wonderful.
Revealed himself.
Yeah. Wonderful. How hard was that without a Bible?
Easy.
Okay.
Quite challenging.
It was challenging to leave it to three sentences.
Yes. Because I thought that I knew Joseph's story, and I was like, well, there's nothing new to think about that. So I just read his whole story, and I was like, oh, wait, I don't remember that. Oh, and I don't remember that. And then what's this whole thing about? So, Joseph, his father's favourite. His father loves him, prefers him to all his other brothers. Joseph was probably a pretty spoiled brat growing up. And he was probably pretty annoying towards his brothers. Because in his eyes, the way he was treated from his father, he was the best. He didn't even have to do anything for it. Then he gets sold into slavery. And his life, that was great. He was number one. He was the best. And then suddenly, he's a slave. But again, he works his way up the ladder and he becomes the best in Potiphar's household, where he now is a slave. And then Potiphar's wife thinks he's ridiculously handsome and tries dances on him. Joseph says no. She freaks out. The coat stays with her and she frames him and says that he tried to attack her. And he goes into prison for doing nothing wrong. So he's back down in the dumps. And in prison, he's such a good, nice prisoner that he climbs up the prison ladder and becomes the prison overseer. So as a prisoner who oversees the other prisoner. There, he talks to the first cupbearer of the Pharaoh and the baker. And they both have dreams, and Joseph interprets them. And he says, cupbearer, you will live. Go back to doing a thing. And yeah, baker, you will die in 3 days. And it both happens. And then he says to the cupbearer, please remember him when you're back in the palace. And guess what happens? He doesn't remember him. So now he's just forgotten in prison for 2 years. And then Pharaoh has dreams. And suddenly the cupbearer remembers this guy in prison. And Pharaoh comes, gets him. Joseph can interpret the dreams, like you said. And then he's the second most powerful person in Egypt, in all of Egypt. He's back up there. So his life is full of ups and downs, and he's successful, but he keeps on falling. And God is with him through it all. There are several times in the Bible when you read it where it says, God was faithful and made him succeed in everything he did. So this is Joseph's life. Sold as a slave, at 17 years old, brought into a strange country. His family just betrayed him. His own brothers sold him. He has nothing left when he arrives in Egypt, except for this God that he heard about from his father. This God that let him see visions as a young boy. So it's basically just Joseph and God against the world for years. And Joseph has to deal with all of this stuff that happens to him. And it's hard stuff, if you think about it. I mean, he gets thrown into prison for nothing that he did. He gets forgotten in prison. But then it seems like everything is finally good, and he's the most powerful man in Egypt, except for the Pharaoh. And 5 years go by with plentiful harvest. 7 years, sorry. 7 years, plentiful harvest. And then 2 years of famine. And suddenly, one day, his brothers are in front of him. The last time he's seen him, he was 17. Now he's, I think, 39 years old. So 22 years that he hasn't seen his brothers. The brothers who sold him into slavery because they hated him so much. And they don't recognize him. But he recognizes them. I think that's the first thing that struck me when I read through it. They did something so horribly wrong to him. But they don't notice him anymore. They don't know him anymore. But he knows them. Because pain that is being done to us is really hard to forget about. And who has done it is really hard to forget about. And I wonder what we would have done in Joseph's position. I mean, Joseph could have done anything with these brothers. He could have thrown them into prison and let them rot there. He could have killed them. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he asks about his father, Jacob, and his younger brother, Benjamin, his only maternal brother. And he sends them back home with enough food for everyone at home and with their money in the bags. And he says, next time you come back, bring your youngest brother. And they do come back and they do bring the brother. But Jacob doesn't want to part with Benjamin because he's already lost Joseph. So one of his brothers, Judah, promises to give his life for Benjamin to protect him. And they come back and they get corn and they're on the way back home when Joseph and his servants catch up with them and they say, one of you has stolen my silver cup and the one who did will die. And the cup is in Benjamin's bag. And the brother who promised that he would give his life says, I'll stay with you. I'll do whatever you do, but what want, but please let him go back to our father. He has already lost a son. And this is where we see this other side. Because, you know, Joseph's side is well known, how he had to go through all of this. But here we see a glimpse of what the brothers went through the past 22 years. Because they had to live with the guilt of selling their own brother. And that is an immense guilt. They had to watch their father in distress over losing his favorite son. And I know having a favorite son isn't that great, but no matter what, it's horrible to see your own father in such deep distress and knowing that you've caused it and lying about it every day for 22 years. So Joseph takes all of them back and he finally reveals himself as Joseph, their brother. And the brothers are scared. They're terrified because they don't know what Joseph will do with them. And they probably expect something horrible. But Joseph simply starts to weep. And I think that was a very emotional moment for all of them. And this is the thing that jumped out of me when I read through his story. The thing that, for me, I believe it's the most important lesson in Joseph's life is forgiveness. How we usually don't understand what real forgiveness is. I remember a few years ago I talked to a Muslim woman and she told me the story of how she became a Muslim and she said, My fiance left me and then married my best friend. And I was so angry at him and hated him so much. And then I met some Muslims and they told me that I had to forgive him and that Allah will punish him for me. So I became a Muslim and now whenever I see him, I think Allah will punish you for me. And that's forgiveness to her. But is that forgiveness? Or maybe sometimes someone does something and you say, oh yeah, it's all right. And then a few months down the line, you're like, you did that back then. And that's why you owe me this and this. Is that forgiveness? It's not. Forgiveness is something that's impossible. It's not something that human beings can do. It's not something that Joseph could do. Joseph was successful in everything he did because God blessed him. And Joseph was able to forgive his brothers because God gave him the strength to do it and the love to do it. I am currently in the process of forgiving something that happened years ago, but he has drastically changed my life. And it's hard. Forgiveness is so, so hard because it's not in our nature. Because all you want to do when something happens to you is fight back. You want to see this person punished. You want to see them suffer the way you are suffering. And forgiveness is not like that. Forgiveness is not even asking God to put his wrath on them for what they've done to you. Forgiveness is bigger than that. because I am convinced that one day I will look at this person and I will not see what they have done to me, but I will see how much God loves them. And I will see where we were and what has happened, and I will see the whole journey up until that moment, and it will be absolutely amazing. When I talk to people and tell them how I want to forgive this person, they don't understand. They don't understand how I could want to forgive someone, how I could want to have a relationship with them. They don't understand, because it's not something that we can do. And forgiveness is also not about forgetting what has happened. It's actually about remembering. That's the difficult part. It's not just saying, okay, this is okay, it's in the past now, let's just move on and act like nothing ever happened. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is painful, and it's a process, and it takes time, and sometimes you don't want to forgive, and you keep on doing and doing and doing it. And then suddenly, you remember what has happened. And instead of the pain, you feel something wholly different. Something that you can't explain with words. And forgiveness goes both ways. So just like we have to forgive others what they've done to us, we have to ask for forgiveness. Just like the brothers who were willing to give up their life for the youngest brother Benjamin because they didn't protect Joseph. We have to ask for forgiveness when we know something happened. And we always have to be ready to forgive people. In Joseph's case, forgiving his brothers led to him being reunited with his whole family. And his family would grow into a nation, and his nation, from this nation, Jesus would come. Joseph forgiving his brothers has such amazing repercussions down the line, and maybe even today, because I'm speaking about Joseph today. And maybe while you're sitting there, something just kind of tugged at your heart. Something that you need to ask for forgiveness, or something that you need to forgive. And that's why we have this wonderful coat over here. Stolen from Open the Book, Streatham. I mean, look at it. Isn't it glorious?
Yes.
So this coat is basically the beginning of Joseph's story. Because when Jacob gives Joseph this coat, that's like the final straw. And that's where his up and downs really start. So this is for me like a sign of unforgiveness. Of something horrible that happened. And I'm going to put that over there. And we're going to have some time to just think and spend time with God and Jesus, and if there's anything coming up, just write it on a post-it note and put it on this coat. Fold it up and put it on this coat and just pray about it. Thank you.